But Philippians 2, we're going to look this morning, Jesus is King. And we'll spend some time in Philippians, and then, believe it or not, we'll go over in Psalms, and we'll wrap it up. But Philippians 2, we'll look briefly in chapter 2, and we'll go over to, let's see here. Verse number 4, Philippians 2, and just keep in mind, Jesus is King, and that's what we think of. We think of this Christmas season. I know there's one advertisement that comes on TV, and I guess surprised to hear it now in 2018, and it's a car dealership, and he always ends by saying, you know, how does he say that? He said, Christ the King. He said, I forget how he words it. He said, it is the reason for the season. Christ being born, our King is the King, or our Savior, and his King is the reason for the season. I can't get exactly now. I thought I could quote it exactly right because I'd heard him say it so many times. And so, and he's exactly right when he says that. And all right, let's look here, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. Verse number 4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of his brothers. Okay, verse number 5 is what we wanted to get to. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. In other words, he humbled himself. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If you think about, you can't get that, you can't get your mind around that. To think about that God humbled himself to become the form of a man, sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. You think about, we're told in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament as well, but Old Testament, you think, they said, you know, God liked to fellowship with man. He walked with Enoch. He walked with Adam. You know, Moses, we're told, was the last prophet that knew God face to face. And for some reason, and unbeknownst to us, I mean, just way above our thinking, God likes the fellowship of man. And after Adam's and Eve's sin in the garden, could have kicked us out, had nothing else to do with us. And you think about Israel, how many times they went back on God, and he'd always have another plan to bring them back around. And he loves us beyond anything we can ever imagine. You know, even the angels, you know, we're told, inquire about this salvation. We want to know more about it. And he just loves man. It said, being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. And talking about he's exalted above all. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You could say that even today, and it is applicable even today. You think about the world we live in. You have God living in you. And think about the Holy Spirit, though, and the Holy Ghost. It guides us, the Holy Spirit, and through our decisions that we make. And it speaks to us and comforts us in time of trouble. And just think about that in this day and time that we live in. And it goes back to God humbled himself to become a man, to die on the cross, his son, that we might have a plan of salvation, that he may be close to us and us to him. But yet he's still Jesus Christ, Son of God, is exalted above all, is what we've told there. Above all things. And as you stay here, you can go with me as I turn. Think about that as I'm going to flip over here to John. If you would, John 1. And just look at a few places. And John 1, let me see here. You think I can find John 1 really fast. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And he was divine, as we're told. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You go to John 1, stay there where you're at, and just flip over to 14, which is actually on my same page. What was this Word? John tells us what this Word was. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, and the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word was God, and as we're told over in Philippians, he humbled himself, and then Jesus was exalted above all things. The Word was God, and the Word was flesh, or became flesh. We're told in John 14, and again, you can stay where you're at, as he tries to explain this to a man called Philip. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it shall suffice us. In other words, if we were reading over in Philippians, we were to say, well, wait a second. Let's go back over here, and it talks about who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. People might say, wait a second. That sounds confusing. It sounds like maybe someone, you know, you're thinking about the Holy Spirit, the Father, or God, and Jesus Christ, his Son, Trinity. And as you read that, you say, wait a second, it sounds like here that God was man, or a God-man, as you read that. And so where's the explanation of that? And as Philip, he's asking a question, says, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. In other words, he's asking a similar question. He's saying, you know, above that, verse number 7, says, if ye have known me, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. So you know God the Father if you know me. And Philip said, wait a second. And he's asking the question. He said, Lord, show us the Father and it shall suffice us. Or in other words, it shall, complete our question. In other words, we shouldn't have any more, concern or as far as what you've just said. How can we have known the Father? Then we know you. We see you. We're with you. Verse number 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that seen me hath seen the Father. Now saith thou then, Show us the Father. Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me and the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And you think about that. He humbled himself, and he's exalted above all, and he still, and you know, if you read over in Isaiah and you think about the day, and think about the birth of, and of course right here at Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you think about that day, and it's hard to get a grasp of, but to us that's a day that occurred, but to God that was already in the plans. That was all part of eternity. In other words, that was already, he was already in existence. He was already there. I mean, it was, and again, I can't grasp that. I have no way to try to explain that. That's what I believe, and I think that's right, is God's always been eternal. And so it would already have taken place. It's like, it was Pastor said last Sunday, if you're saved, God already sees you that way and is in heaven. And sometimes, you know, as we lose loved ones here, that's sad for us. But, you know, and I think that's why, you know, the angels rejoice when someone's saved, because what they see or know, or they know that God knows, or they know, but that God knows that that person, as he sees, is already clean. You're already there, so to speak, if that makes sense. Because it's not a day or 24-hour period that we get caught in our minds and think of. But God sees from everlasting to everlasting. Now, you turn over to Psalms with me, Psalm 2, and we'll wrap it up here this morning. And that's just way above my thinking to think about that, but to think about it. Because when you think about God, see, we try to put everything into something we can understand and explain. And that's okay for man, I guess, to do that. Man does that. But when it comes down to things of God, that doesn't always work. We can't explain it. Like I said, when I started at the beginning, you know, God, he walked with Enoch. He come down and visit Adam and Eve. He wanted a fellowship with man. And then still, you know, Israel, the apple of his eye. They'd go out into sin, especially, you know, when they were coming out of Egypt, you know, they'd complain and murmur. God, he'd get angry with them. Moses would kind of be the intercessor, kind of get in between, and he'd give them way out again. What would happen? They'd turn back toward God and turn back to idolatry, back and forth, back and forth. But he still loved them, much like you would your own children or grandchildren. And that's just so hard to understand in the grasp, especially if you look around in today's world and things that we see going on and things people are saying and what's, you know, it's no wonder people say that, and totally agree that Christ could return at any minute, any time. Seems like everything's been fulfilled. It'd be time for him to come back and rapture and take the church home. As we look here in Psalm 2, we've talked about before, was why do the heathen rage? Why are they mad? Why is the world mad today? Think about Christmas time and the joy time and the joyous time and people, families get together and visit and have always a good time to fellowship. And if I get down to West Tennessee, I'll look forward to seeing them as well. My cousins, I don't know if, first time Kim ever met him, I remember we were sitting around, there was a big, big fire going in the fireplace, and we were sitting around eating breakfast, and I remember my cousin, I don't think he's ever been here, but he's one of the brothers, there's five of them, and he came in, and I asked him, I said, "You get you a deer this morning?" He said, "No, couldn't get the car stopped quick enough." So, I don't know what Kim thought after that, but you know what, I still like to see him hug his neck too, just like I do the rest of them. I don't know if he was joking or not, but I don't know if the roads were slick or if he saw a big deer and he was trying to get out of the car, if that was the way he stayed warm. So where the pastor may keep his hunting blind warm, he may sit out in his car and stay warm. I don't know how that works, but I say that because this time we're all different and different families as we fellowship together, but that's how we are here too in the church. We've all got different jobs, different thoughts, but still, this was one thing that brings us together if you're saved. That's the Holy Ghost. And you know that as just a few minutes of speaking with someone or visiting with them or fellowshipping with them. It's just a joy that you can't explain. And so if that's one word, I guess you had to pick or choose for around Christmas time, that would be it. It would be the joy. The joy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ being born. The joy of seeing each other. Joy of fellowship among each other. You know, it'd be joyous this morning when the young people come in and sing and the children. And that song, Joy to the World, you think about that. But here in Psalm 2, we see that's not necessarily the case. As we look through here, and we'll look through probably the first, I don't know, 12 verses, and that will be it. You're going to see a world that opposes God and would be in opposition to this time of year, would be in opposition to our joy that we have or we share. You'll see the reaction that they have to Christ's birth. It's been foretold, and that's what David tells us of. He says, how's the world going to react when this Lord and Savior, King of the Jews, King of this world, comes in? And then we'll talk to him about some events that would occur that proved he was and is our King, Lord, and Savior. And then we'll wrap it up. So why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? So it's a question David even asked. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, this is where they oppose him. So let's break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, let's get rid of these, and I'm thinking about today, let's get rid of these churches and Christians and cast them away. They're troublemakers. They cause too many problems. And even David back then was asking that question or jotting it down or referring to the heathen. Why do they rage? What are they mad about? Why are they upset? Verse number 4, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. So this gives us a reaction to the threats that they have. So let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision, confusion. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So no matter how much the world may hate what we cherish so much and what we love and the love of God for us, and God still loves the world. And then again, the Holy Spirit's still out working in men's hearts and women's hearts, and the gospel's still being preached, and there's still missionaries going out around the world. Mr. Grizzle this morning was opening up cards for missionaries that the church here supports, and he was going through them, and he had several there that he'd open, and he'd read the letter, and he'd lay it to the side, and he'd have another one, he'd open it up. And that's just this little church here on the hill in Bloomingdale. And you think about other churches to support missionaries. It's around the world, and the gospel's still going out. God still wants to get that word out to the people. And that's what the churches do. And this morning, as the pastor stands to preach, he'll be preaching the gospel and the word of God to a lost and dying world. And so as David asks this, and he kind of explains it, I guess, and says, why do the heathen rage? You still, in a way, I guess you think about it, say, well, yeah, but you're sending that out to a world which right here says, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, let's get rid of them. You know, even today, you know, there's some even in our nation and other nations that would like to see the churches done away with, or be told what to preach or what to teach, or kind of follow the party line, so to speak. Not talking about parties, political parties, but more of what the government would want you to think or do. And as I think about, we had one missionary come in. You know, they went to China, and he was talking about, what was that? Maybe back in September, and talk about, you know, early on. You know, they got a little bit more freedom now in China, but not much. And he mentioned it in his presentation here at the church. He mentioned the underground church that we'd heard of. And I said, yeah, I'd always heard about that. You know, I was listening as he talked about that and how people met in homes or out in woodsheds or places where they wouldn't get caught worshiping or having a Bible. And he said, you know, they got a little bit more freedom now because they're watched very closely in what they say and what they speak. And sometimes they're taped or they're monitored. Goes right back to, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. But he that sitteth in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet if I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath saith unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Verse number 8. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen of thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with the rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. So this is a warning to the nations of this earth. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Service the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now, if you'll just stay with me here, if you'll just flip over to Matthew, we'll look what he's referring to here. He says, I will declare the decree, the Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. So if you go to Matthew 3, and we're almost finished this morning. Matthew 3, verse number 16. Verse number 15, and Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for this thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So if there's any question about at all about who Jesus Christ was or who he is, that answers it. But there's more places in the Bible as we go through, and that's what David is referring to there in that verse number 7. What events occurred that allows us to know that? Well, if we'll go on over, Matthew chapter 17. And I just chose three. You could find many, many more. But to try to prove to the world who he was. And you know, if nothing else, maybe we said this a couple Sundays ago, and I can't think of anybody else, his name that you could mention, but you want to get a crowd stirred up, just mention Jesus' name and start talking about him. That, to me, is proof enough who he was and who he is. You'd want somebody to take sides quick, either for him or against him. Just start mentioning Jesus. Start witnessing. Start testifying. That's a quick way to clear out a room. It is. Or it's a quick way to get people coming to your side. And what I mean, not your side to fight, but your side saying amen. And start talking about Scripture with you, or what God's done for them in their life. Or things they witnessed or seen, or where they were at when God found them. It's one way or the other. But now you might mention Brian or Ralph or Rick or I'm trying to think of John or I'm thinking of Jim or Richard. You mention other names and it don't provoke that. I mean, it might personally, if somebody knows it, what I mean, just a small group. But I'm talking about you go anywhere in the world and mention the name of Jesus Christ. It might be in another language you have to speak it. But you're going to get some type of reaction. You think about that. And so that alone to me shows me the power of God just in a name that's mentioned. You think about that, just in a name alone. And so these examples that I found that I was looking for in the Scripture, one, of course, when he was baptized, and of course the heavens opened up and said, this is, you know, my Son. To me still, in just our daily interaction with people, you know, I think about that a lot, and it's true. He'd say that, and I remembered it, but what he'd say was right. And I said this over and over. You know, Billy Mitchell, you say even in the doctor's office, if you want to get seen quicker, he said, as soon as you check in, go out there and start witnessing and testifying to people. He said, before you know it, they'll come open that little door and say, Billy Mitchell. He said, try it sometime. He said, they'll put you back there in that little room by yourself. He said, then it's just you and God back there. He said, they'll get you in and out. I remember him saying that. And then he talked about the grocery line. He said, you want them to open up another grocery line? Start testifying to somebody in front of you. Sir, I'll get you right over here. He said, that light won't even be on. They'll have you over there ringing you up. And his point was, and it always stuck with me, and it's true, if you mention the name Jesus, you will. You'll get some type of reaction. You do. Anyway, let me find these two other places and we'll be done. First, I said chapter 17. We're going to go to the Transfiguration. And let's see, I thought I had that here. Let's go to verse number 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings him up into a high mountain apart. So we've seen already that heavens have opened up and said, this is my Son. Here we see we take three others with him. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. So you've got witnesses here with him this time. You know, we've talked before, you know, Jews require a sign. They require a witness. Remember, Peter took others with him to Cornelius' house. So I think here as well, that's why he had more than just one. Or we're not, in my thought here in the Transfiguration, he had these three. But also, the reason why, if Jews require a sign, that's, we heard that all the way through the Old Testament, so it's Peter, James, and John. And was transfigured before them, so he had three witnesses there, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses, and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Remember, we talked last week about how God would be in a cloud or fire or light. So a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. You think about that, the power of God. Last but not least, we'll go over to John, if you would. Chapter 20, you're all familiar with this. You know what I'm going to here. Of course, this is a resurrection. You can't use that, I don't think, is go through and try to find examples of as we saw Paul talking to Philippian people, talking to as God had humbled himself, became man. He's exalted above all, and as David said, why did the world oppose him? And then just briefly, quickly, like I said, just three quick examples of who he was, how the Scripture testifies of the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and then the resurrection. If you go to chapter 20, of course we won't read all of these. We'll go down to the whole chapter. Let's see. Let's go down to verse number 12, chapter 20. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. They saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. You know, I've got a little note here in my Bible. Must have heard it, maybe the pastor was preaching, somebody was, and I made a little note and underlined the word Mary because it's in red. Sheep knows the shepherd's voice. Think about that. So Jesus saith unto her, Mary, she turned herself and said unto him, if I'm saying that right, Rabboni, or Rabbi, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and he had spoken these things unto her. And that comes right back around to what we started out there with in Philippians. He humbled himself, that yet he was exalted above all. All for us, all that we might have a plan of salvation. You think about that. And God knew that from, like I said, everlasting and everlasting. He knew what was going to happen, knew it was going to occur. To him, it wasn't just one day. To him, it was a plan from the beginning, all the way from Genesis, from what we know as the beginning when we read in the Bible, Genesis, because that's what we have. To Revelation and what's going to occur. Well, I hope you have a Merry Christmas. I hope you have time to fellowship with your families and give them a big hug and laugh a lot. And hope you're blessed with health to be able to do that, see each other. We got time this morning to visit and fellowship. We're right on time. Thank you for your attention.